others for the next week and finish the old business. But this gives us time, I think, to go through Crisis Nursery, the Refugee Center, and race. And if we can make it through those, Promise Healthcare and race. So let's see how we do. So Crisis Nursery is Elaine and myself. Elaine, do you have some comments about Crisis Nursery?
So this is the Beyond Blue program of Crisis Nursery, and it's really the earliest intervention program there is because it helps women who are pregnant or have a child under 1 year old who have perinatal or postnatal depression. And so their particular program, being part of Crisis Nursery, is embedded in all of the connections and support that Crisis Nursery has. They have a relationship-based, family-focused model of intervention and treatment. They meet the mothers in the home and at neutral sites, and they promote emotional support for the mother and also promote the mother's emotional availability for the child. They have home visits. They have a parent-child interaction groups. They have support groups. They have community and provider education. And so the Crisis Nursery itself can provide crisis and respite care kind of behind this program. So they're trying to reduce the negative effect on children of not being tended to really emotionally very early. And they do have the credentials are mentioned. The home specialists, as they're called, have at least a BA. The County Board of Health used to contribute to this and run it, but it no longer does. So we provide 40% of the funding. They're asking for $75,000, a modest increase, and the self-reporting was that on the people who were served, 54% reported improvement, emotional, improvement, and 29% in addition felt they were stable and their conditions were not worsening. The low-income people are at greater risk for depression, of course, because of economic pressures, so that's something they look at. And they seem to have just a good referral system. They served 27% of the referrals, and that was 33 people served. And it's just, kind of sad that not more people engage with it. I don't know if anything can be done that isn't being done, but one would hope that, that's a low number. I mean, you're depressed, of course, and have a new baby, but I don't know. I'm sure that would be my only, question is just how do you up those numbers? Is it even possible? And they give referrals to other programs, too. I wasn't quite sure whether, because they mentioned referring to other programs, if they could not accommodate some people. And I didn't understand what that accommodation meant. Are they at capacity of the ones they can serve and have to refer others? Or is there a better fit somewhere? What does that mean, accommodation, being able to accommodate a certain number? That was really my not that they're not referring them to good places. I just wondered about that.
Well, Elaine, that was exactly my question. Number one, Is the program able to expand in the future, given that it appears demand outstrips supply? Unless I misread it, it appeared that there were many families that could not be served and therefore were referred to the Strong Families Program. And so if you're serving 27% of the clients referred, are there some of those clients who you're not serving who need to be served? And if you were able to expand, would you serve them? And so I guess that's a question that we'll pose. And if is it an issue of staff capacity? Is it an issue of funding capacity? Is it an issue of space capacity? I mean, it could be fairly complex. But this is a long-term, long-standing program that's had a significant difference in our community. It has very strong support from many groups in our community. And so I was dismayed in a positive way, but dismayed that there were so many families who could not be served. And then having information about the success of the referrals to other agencies, because if some are falling through the cracks, then that's problematic too, and we might be concerned about your level of ambition to serve as many families as possible. My last question, Elaine brought up, the Board of Health used to provide partial support, and perhaps the Board of Health's priorities have changed, I don't know, but I wondered when was the last time the agency had asked the board if they would reconsider partial support, because it is a very well-known, very strongly supported program in the community. Julian.
I happen to know a little about that.
You do?
Because I was on the Board of Health when this program began.
Wow.
Love it. Loved. It was wonderful. It's been totally dismaying to discover. The reasons have nothing to do with this quality of this program. The reasons have to do with other issues that probably this isn't the appropriate place to discuss, but rest assured that it had nothing to do with the quality of this program.
Yeah, that's why I thought it would be, one of my questions would simply be, when was the last time you talked to the Department of Health? Did you talk to them this year so that we would know if they have declined support?
Do you want to announce my typo?
There was a typo in the report saying 70,000, but it's 75,000.
Well, it was the award in fiscal year 17 was actually 70,000.
70,000, not
so,
75.
Yeah, so we've never bumped it up to 75.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, that's slippery typing.
Okay. All right. Yes. All right, moving on then to East Central Illinois Refugee Mutual Assistance Center. Ann Robin and Margaret White are responding to that. Please.
Anybody that wants to move up, please feel free to. It's really not fair for me to review this program because this is one of my favorite programs in the known universe. And I think that we are so fortunate to have such a wonderful program in this community. It has always been very important serving a very underserved population of people in great need, but it's even more important now in the social and political climate that we find ourselves. And my question to this organization has always been, why don't you ask for more money? So this year they actually did ask for more money, although they were pretty modest about it. They're still not asking for that much. And I think that what they want to do with the more money is to increase the staff pay a little bit and to recognize that the executive director actually needs to be paid some too, although probably not as much as would be good. This program is the epitome of bang for the buck. They serve more people in more variety of ways, and I've personally interacted with their services as a healthcare provider. They've provided translation services and continue to do that. But they have youth program, and they're a total lifeline for people that otherwise would not have a lifeline. So that's my pitch.
Talking about a comprehensive service. Sorry, thank you. It's such a comprehensive list of services and working to help people meet their basic needs and basically everything in the community. I was particularly impressed, you know how I am about the kids stuff, that the area of prevention with having Saturday morning tutoring for the students. They have 100 students. They serve 30 to 40 weekly, but they have 100 in the program. So it's a lot of kids. It's making a huge difference.
All right, then moving on, let's move on to, Promise Healthcare with Margaret.
Promise Healthcare, this is
a
mental health
services. Mental health services to both adults and children, and they're provided by an LCPC and an LCSW. And those, I think the... one of the key things about this is the integration between mental health and the primary care physician. The psychiatrists there also, it's very important to look at the psychiatrist does provide ongoing continuing education for the primary care providers and the nurses. At the agency, I think the strong integration is probably the biggest thing. There's no increase from the request from last year. And they're going to do a patient stress questionnaire as a new performance measure. And it goes back to my previous comment on an agency that really looks at their data and constantly is always continuing to try to improve their client services. I'm biased, too, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I should say, and they served in they served 2,297 clients. Huge. Okay.
And just to note that staff did have some comments, which I assume the agency will look at and respond to, about measures and time frames associated with engagement in services. So some data that would be helpful. Were noted in the proposal. Okay, the next one is Rape Advocacy, Counseling, and Education Services, and that's Joseph and Julian.
I sometimes really with rape advocacy and education is key. Last year I said the same thing, $18,000. You do a lot for $18,000. You could ask for more. I think trying to touch all age groups is really important. And getting into the schools is not as easy as it used to be, but if you get into the schools a lot more, it'd be great. That's, I got it.
I think this is a thank you.
There it goes.
So the 18,000 is in relationship to a $110,000 budget. So we're a relatively small part of this, but it does a lot of, they're doing a lot of good, necessary work. I don't really have any questions. This is, as I recall, this is the group that really was almost killed by the state. And they're coming back, and, well, let's help them come back. That's my comment.
More than life support.
Great, thank you. The next one is Rosecrans Crisis Access and Benefits, and that is Palencia and Fowler. Elaine?
Okay, so this Rosecrans program has three components. The crisis line, that is 24/7. And they make the point that there are over 30,000 residents in Champaign County affected by mental illness, and there's a workforce shortage of people to help them. And their goal is to serve 100% of the people who approach these programs. And as for the crisis line, the goal is for 100% to get same-day service. Then there's the access component. And part of that is that they work with the Champaign County healthcare consumers to help people with mental illness receive, you know, a wider range of healthcare, which would impact general health, like dental and other things. And then the benefits part of it is they have a full-time benefits case manager at their Walnut Street facility. And so this is, along with all of this, they have assessments, and they have, very often through the police, they get referrals. This is part of the crisis team. They have a suicide assessment five-step evaluation program that the clinicians use. So we provide about 30% of this program budget, and the one question I had, they have good numbers for, you know, 100% seeking information, screening, or referral will receive those services, but the benefits acquisition could take several months, and so I guess I didn't understand whether you have to wait that long to get treatment, and is there a waiting list for treatment? Because there was this sentence, capacity will dictate the length of time from assessment to engagement. So assessment seems to happen rapidly, but I didn't know if there were waiting lists, you know, or not, or if you have to wait several months to have your benefits agreed upon before you get some of your treatment. That was the part I didn't understand.
It really seems like this aligns with several of our priorities, and because it does a variety of things, it doesn't fall under just one. So I did have a question about, of the 183 clients who were served in program year 17, does that refer to the total who were provided case management for benefits and or accessing services? And were these distributed across Champaign County healthcare consumers and Rosecrans? Not quite clear. I know that there's a subcontract to Champaign County healthcare consumers, but it would be nice to see a breakout of the numbers between the two agencies. And of the 3,500 crisis calls managed, are most calls are resolved without requiring access or benefits? Are they, I mean, how many of those many, many calls that you receive. I mean, that's an amazing number, result in subsequent referral to access or benefits. Is there a relationship between the crisis calls and those identified as non-treatment, the NTPC? I assume that some of the crisis calls are handled through an immediate response by the crisis intervention team or the police, but how many of them essentially result in more in-depth services? And do the benefits management for individuals in jail coordinate with the Rosecrans Criminal Justice PSC, which provides case managers at the jail? Is there any overlap or duplication? And my, again, my assumption is there probably is not, because there's probably more than enough case management to do at the jail related to health care, but clarifying, since Rosecrans does have case managers at the jail through the Justice PSC program, how that relates to the coordinator or case manager in the jail for the crisis access benefits would be helpful. Other than that, it was it's a proposal that we funded for a while and certainly meets a need in the community. Any other comments? Julian.
Question. Oh, yeah, it amounts to about, I don't know, 50, 60, how much? Some big thousands. I forget how much.
I believe it was a staff increase.
Staff increase.
But we can ask specifically, what does the 15% increase relate to, and what are the expected outcomes for that 15% increase? Yes. Okay. Other comments? All right. Thank you so much for the members of the community whose proposals we talked about today for hanging with us up till this point in time. We'll resume again next week, and we have 15 proposals for next week, which I know will require some of you to come back because that's how the proposals spread across the priority. We'll be doing an assessment after we finish this process to determine whether it was helpful to do this spread across priorities versus to have an agency present five or six programs in one presentation, or for us to discuss five or six programs in one presentation. There are pros and cons to both. Going back to the agenda, we have just a very short amount of, not going back to the agenda,
yeah,
thank
sorry,
you.
There you
go. We have under new business resolution, copy of the resolution in remembrance of George Roth is included in the board packet. George Roth was director of the Mental Health Board for a number of years and passed away about 2 weeks ago.
Maybe more.
I don't think I'll take the time to read the resolution, but it is being provided to his family. So it's on page 3. And I appreciate the fact that staff pulled that together. It's very thoughtful and kind.
Stephanie.
Old business.
There's no decision attached to it.
It didn't say that there was a decision. We agreed to do it.
Okay. Uh-huh. So yeah. There it is.
Okay. Old business. I think everyone is familiar with the schedule and allocation process timeline, pages 4 to 7. So I will not go through that. We will gain information about the Developmental Disabilities Board at a later meeting because they are also involved in the same process we are. I will ask for approval of the board minutes from March 21st, which are included. So moved by Tom, seconded by Elaine. Comments, discussion? Hearing none, all those who vote approval, say aye. Any dissent? Okay, board minutes are approved. Staff reports are available in the packet, and it's very nice and helpful to have financial reports, which Chris Wilson is beginning to include. Again, I will ask that you just look at it. There's also a pretty thorough consultant report on the annual Disability Expo. A number of us were at the expo. Congratulations to everyone who was involved in preparing the expo. It was a wonderful resource. Lots of information, lots of vendors. Board-to-board reports, unless there's something compelling, I'd like to put that off for our meeting in June or possibly May. You did. Great. Financial information, we do need to approve financial expenditure in the last month, and that is pages 16 to 22. I'm assuming that people have looked at the expenditures. Is there a move to approve? A second? Julian, second. Discussion? All those in favor? Okay. Opposed? Board announcements? Any board announcements? We will meet again next week at 5:30 and with the hopeful intention of being done by 7:30 to do the final group of proposals. If you have questions as you read through them, please send them to Lynn so that she can start putting them together. And then before we adjourn.
I just want to thank the staff.
Yes.
You did an incredible job. Thank you.
The proposals were so easy to work through and read. And then thank you for providing the fuller proposals for the ones which we were assigned as primary or secondary. It was just, it was really helpful. Yes?
And I want to remind everybody to bring book B next week because it won't be sent to you again.
Right. Right.
Book D.
Book D, yes. And we'll be back.
We're not coming back here.
So, a final comment, just the incredible amount of work in getting this to us. Thank you.
Thank the Postal Service.
And the Postal Service, yes. Okay.
That was their work.
I think we can adjourn. Without it.